الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده على آلائه وعلى نعمائه، ونشكره أن هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله رحمة الله للعالمين وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. We praise Allah for guiding us. Without His guidance, we would have been lost. And we thank Him for His mercy and support that we need in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask Him to shower His blessings and peace on the last of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent for nothing but to be a mercy for the world. Dear Muslims, if you want to have a strong, resilient, durable building, you need certain basic elements. Any building is as strong as, number one, its foundation, number two, its building blocks, the bricks that you put together to make the building, and number three is the cement that glues and keeps these pieces together. All what you sometimes see in the news or get news from the old country or read in the paper about buildings that unexpectedly collapsed, the investigations always yield to one of these three elements. Either the foundation was not strong enough to carry the building, or the bricks that formed the buildings are not up to the standard, or the cement that is used in the building is not meeting the requirements and the qualifications. And I'd like to use this metaphor to look in our quest for building our community, our Muslim community. And sometimes we say we are doing that and we jump to the picture of the building, how many stores and how many square feet and what will be its color and in what location. But really what counts and what will keep the building are the three elements that I mentioned. And I'd like then to use the metaphor of building a building to the process of building a community. We notice, or I will consider, that the bricks are the individuals. The individuals of which this community is composed. I consider them the bricks of the building. And so each brick on its own should be up to par and should be strong enough so that when it is glued to another strong brick and another one, another one, we end up by a strong building. And it always behooved me to see what do you mean? Simply, I'm talking about forming the individual, the Muslim individual. Probably particularly in America, but in general, and even throughout the centuries of Islam. How you form the individual on his or her own that are good and strong. And we look at that and we say, so we'll educate the individuals, we'll put programs for them, we'll build the schools, and so on and so forth. And all of that is great. But I'd like us to be more aware of the process. There is a process. You ask the teachers here, how do you gear your activities to produce a strong individual out of that very young, very green student? And they will tell you things that are very beneficial. Certain things that you have to end up building that personality. And I'd like to look whether there is a guidance for that process in the Quran. And I believe that there is. When we look at how the Quran guides us to build the individual, the person, we'll find very interesting things. As they say, nothing will come from nothing. There should be a base that you should have to build up this great personality. And so the Quran offers us and offers humanity the basics that are conducive to respond to a process of building up that can yield to something good and something permanent. And I look at the Quran and I see these amazing realities, that this individual is told up front that you are very valuable. You are free of sins. You are born with a clear and clean slate. During your life, you put on that page whatever you want. But be assured that you are not coming to life carrying a debt. You are free to start which road you will choose. And then the Quran tells the individual also that, by the way, you are capable to choose. You can make a process of selection. Which way I'd like to go? To promote that personality and push it high, or to debase it and bring it down? It is within human decision. It's not something that is dropped on you. No, the Quran says in clear language, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. For each self, God finished and created, gave that self the two ways to choose from. The fujuraha, that's to debase yourself. Wataqwa, you can cleanse yourself. Then the Quran says in a decisive way, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, the one who pushes it up will succeed, the one who pushes it down will fail. Which means, in clear terms, that the decision is yours. So if you go down, don't blame it on the society or the humanity or your color or your race or your teacher or your sheikh. You have nobody to blame but yourself, because Allah gave you that domain and said, in this you can decide. And this is the first thing in forming a good, strong personality. If I come to life and I am told that I am carrying sins. Or if I am told I am carrying the result of what my parents or what my ancestors did, I'm not free. I already have a debt. Or if I have been told you cannot change yourself, you cannot change your behavior or your destiny, then what am I going to do? I am crippled already on the start. So that was first thing that Islam gives the individual to be able to grow. The second thing is, Quran comes to me and to you and to her and say, by the way, the moment you became, the moment you are born, the moment you became a human being, you are entitled to dignity. God bestowed His God-given dignity upon every human being, regardless to race, color, creed, gender, ancestors, social strata, it doesn't matter. A human being is entitled to dignity that God Almighty gave to the progeny of Adam. Not only that, He says, you deserve the good things. وَرَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, that you have been sustained by good things, not by just what is needed to make you alive, but by the good things. Me and you and her and everybody and the poor child in Ethiopia or Somal or the destitute child in wherever are entitled to good things. The fact that they are not getting it means that somebody else robbed it from him. There is no other explanation. Other evil powers interfered to deprive that human being from dignity and from the good things. Then the verse goes on, وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. The world is yours. You roam all over the land and all over the sea. Your freedom of mobility. These are three God-given human rights that Quran gives to every human being. So now I am coming to life clean and clear. Now I am told that I can decide what I want to be, at least I can intend. Then now I am told that I am a person with dignity that deserves good things. Those elements are very important in the psyche and in the development of the personality. On top of that, God tells me, by the way, you are not going to have a burden that you cannot shoulder. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God will not impose on you a load that you cannot carry. How liberating. If I feel I am free, I am clean, I can make decisions, and I am a dignified person, and because of the generosity of God, He will not lay on me something that I cannot cope with. I think this is a very strong foundation to grow, and the sky is the limit. There is no hindrance to the process of growth and maturation and reaching the highest potential that I can reach. This is why when Imam al-Baghawi was asked, what is tarbiyah? He said, بُلُوغُ النَّفْسِكَ مَا لَهَا الَّذِي خُلِقَتْ لَهَا, that the personality should reach its completion for which it has been created. Each one of us have been created for a potential. And the process is that each one of us should reach that potential without settling for anything less. With that understanding, we can form ourselves and form our individuals to be very special. There is a procedure. This is the principles, but there is a procedure in the Quran. to tell us exactly what are the, they call it in modern management, the measurables. What are the steps that should be taken, or I'm aspiring to do? What are the standards? Because when you know the standard, you try to reach it. Even if you fall short, you will fall at a decent level. So if you have a student or a child or a son or a daughter, and you study your potential, and you say, the standard for me, for you is to get the highest grades, or high grades, or to prepare yourself for the Olympics, or whatever. There is a standard that child will try to reach. If it is reached, that's well and good. If it's not reached, probably it will not be the Olympics, but it will be the county level competition or what have you. Not necessarily A, but B plus. But without a standard, anything can happen. So Islam sets the standardization of the ambitions and the trials of the individuals. And I'll address that soon, inshallah. Udhu Allah, innahu wal ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. We look at the Quran and we find really for forming a common denominator, a level that is expected from all of us. But soon after that, the bar is set higher. The bar is set higher to separate from the good to the excellent. From what will make you okay to what will make you special. And as they say, the barrier between us and the excellency is the good. If good is that is it, you will be either good or less good or bad. But if good is a standard that all of us agreed, so let us say what's above that. And we find, I'll share with you because of the time, one or two examples from the Quran. And I hope that you will find them clear. Quran, for example, expects from us to form a cohesive community and a peaceful heart. All of us need that. One of the ways to do that is, Quran says, don't lose yourself to anger. So if you get angry, control yourself. Keep it inside. Why is that? Because the alternative is one thing only, escalation. If you made me angry and I don't control the anger within me, the next step is to respond in a way that will make the situation worse. And you will respond in even worse situation, and so on, off until it is a spiral leading to a disaster. Either the disaster individual in terms of severing the relation, or the disaster is more common, which is not a cohesive community, something that is fluffy and not holding each other. So the Quran says, if you get angry, stop it, swallow it, take a deep breath. Because Allah knows that if you don't do that, the consequences will be bad for you and for others. And I'm telling you, and you go and look on your own experiences and the experiences of others. You find most of the broken relations. And sometimes even most of the sad crimes, whether in terms of beating or murdering or whatever, you'll find it initiated The spark is someone got angry and did not control him or herself. So, an ugly word from here, two ugly words in response, five ugly words from the other side, a slap on the face from one side, and it is fire. Most of the crimes that we read about and we see, and the broken houses and the high rate of divorce that our community is going through, and children running out of homes, etc., all of it started by someone got angry and the other one did not listen, but got back to the other side. So settled, it is expected that the Quran says, وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ, that you control your anger. All of us, without exception, are to do that. But the bar goes up. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The next step, not to control your anger, but to forgive the other person. This is what will separate the good from the excellent. This will what will separate from the ordinary and the extraordinary. This what will separate the acceptable from the special and distinguished. Because I guess with some training, and they give courses now in anger control, etc., with some training, we can maybe achieve the anger control. But to forgive, my God, this is big. And I want every one of us to ask ourselves, how many times somebody did hurt me to the point of getting me angry, but I kept it inside me? And ask myself, am I ready to forgive that person? I don't know about you. About me, my score is quite low. For the sake of honesty, very few, I think, will be able to control the anger and forgive the instigator of the anger. But this is to show you how Quran standardizes this way. I give you another example. It is quite clear that Quran tells us, spend for the cause of God. Spend on the poor and the needy and the weak and the meek and the wayfarer, and spend in public, spend in private, and if you spend, you will be rewarded. That whole talk about the virtue of offering, that is expected. We all should do that. And those who are not willing to do that, at least they will be committed to the fifth pillar of Islam, whether they like it or not. It is a divine income tax. You will pay zakat. If you are not even willing to pay zakat, you have a problem. Just do your soul searching. But this is how Quran set the standard, that you spend. Then the bar is set high. Spending is fine. But what is excellent is to spend at the days of hunger and difficulty. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ. That to storm through the hurdle is to release a soul from slavery, or to offer food at a day of hunger. When we all are glutting food, it's very easy to give a sandwich to the other guy or to whatever. But when the days are days of hunger or famine, this is, and you spend on that day, that shows that you deserve to storm through the block, as the Quran said it. To spend is okay, but to put the other ahead of you, that's a higher standard. This is why the Quran says about those who will spend even if they are themselves in need. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They prefer the other even if they are needy. They themselves are needy. So you will find in so many situations in the Quran those two levels. One level, without it, life is unacceptable and is uncomfortable. But there is another level that is special for the believers, that forms the real community of the believers. And if each brick of us is formed this way, I think we can, when we put them together, it will be a great result and it will be a great building, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to build up ourselves and to purify our hearts and to cleanse our souls and to get help from Him. I ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path and to give us the insight and the vision that will make us guided. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna وعافنا واعف عنا وتولنا وتب علينا ودافع عنا وادفع اللهم عنا كل ظلم وكل شر وكل سوء. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.